And Argus is going to have a new system here. Tommy told me he's going to buy it next year. When that little right red light goes on, you have 50 milliseconds to jump off the stage before the trap door opens up. Also want to recognize Bobby Harden. Bobby, he was the guy that climbed all the ladders. It's nice to have someone who's a little younger and more energetic. I also want to recognize the ginners that actually opened the door and let us stick our hands in their 480-volt boxes and risking our lives. And we had excellent cooperation all across the Cotton Belt, and I really appreciate that. We were in quite a diversity of gins. Some of the gins were older and smaller, and some of the gins were bigger and newer. Some of the gins were running Upland Cotton on saw gin stands. Others were running Akalas and Pimas on their roller gins. We had some gins that were brand spanking new. You could drive a truck in. We had other gins you'd have a hard time turning around in. We had some gins that were laid out in a very orderly and logical manner. It made it nice to, when you're drawing a sketch of the flow process in there. Other gins a little bit harder to figure out what was going on. We had some gins that used the traditional control system, and other gins that had the modern, the touch screen, which you don't have to draw the flow process, it's already on there on the computer. Some ginners believe in numbering and labeling everything, and that's kind of handy for what I was trying to do. Other gins were don't believe in that, but you know, they still, we got the job done. There's a common disclaimer on those TV shows where people do crazy things, and they usually say, these men are highly trained professionals. My t-shirt said, this man is a fool, don't do what he's doing. Now, we did get some lineman's gloves and arc shield from the local safety guy, but I still don't recommend that you go back to your gin and do this. The only way to find out how much current is being used by electric motor when it's running is to open that disconnect, and that's what we're doing. But again, I do not recommend that on a regular basis. Some of the gins were nice and well organized. We could get our ammeter on almost every wire in the disconnect boxes. Other gins, the disconnect boxes, they made more efficient use of the electrical cabinet, but that made it harder to get the ammeter around the wire. And then, but we did the best we could. There are a few estimates in there, and there's some missing data. That's sort of typical, I guess. And most of these gins, again, I really appreciate the cooperation of the managers, especially those that had personnel that they could loan to us for a couple hours to walk around and write the numbers down. It's hard to write with that lineman's glove on. And then Cliff Boykin loaned us a nice little gadget to Bobby and myself. It's a data logger, and it records the voltage and current as often as you want for as long as you want. It's very handy for those motors that are intermittently loaded, such as you have at the bale press. And the bale press, we also learned from that device, sometimes those pumps have a power factor of less than 40%. And I'll talk about power factor a little bit. I don't know of any gins that are paying for power factor right now, but in theory, the utilities can come to you and ask for it, and they've done that to other industries. Because when your power factor is low, you're drawing a lot more current through the wires than you're actually paying for. They're billing you based on your kilowatt hours, and you're drawing a lot more amp hours than that, or volt amps than that. That increases losses in the lines. That also increases losses within your gin. And there's a private company out there that does consulting for gins. It's run by an electrical engineer. He'll measure your power factor at those motors that are a great distance from your disconnect panel, and he will tell you how much money you can save in the resistive loss in that line. It might actually pay for the capacitors that go in there. And the reason the utilities are interested in billing you for it is if they have a power factor of 0.7 at the point of use, and that means the current is 40% higher, that means they're doubling the losses in their transmission system. So that's why they sometimes want to charge you for that. Now, if the utility wants to charge you for that and you put capacitors at the transformer, that'll save the utility money, but it won't save you any money. So you want to put that capacitor at the motor if you want to save money within the gen. Now, I don't have a lot of findings. Some of this data is still being analyzed, and some of this data hasn't been collected yet. But there was one gin I went in where there were two gin stands, 150 horsepower motor on one gin stand and 100 on the other. And the odd thing was the bigger motor was using less current. Now, I don't know if that was just because at the moment we were there, there wasn't as much cotton getting through the feeder into that one gin stand, or if it's a newer motor and it's more efficient. But that might be something interesting to look at. And I promised the identity of all these cooperators would be kept secret, so I don't embarrass anybody, so especially not myself. There's a whole bunch of numbers we would get going into a gin. This is just a sort of an example. I might see 46 amps at the module feeder, not nearly as many at the separator, and so on. You see some of the big numbers would be in the gin stand, and those fans that are pulling a lot of air, like the battery condenser, and then you also see a lot of current when you get to the press. Each one of these amperages would be assigned to one of four categories. We had cleaning, ginning, packaging, probably don't need to explain those three, and then the fourth category was everything else, and that means handling. So I don't think it's wrong for a gin to have an overflow system. It's the way you keep your presses fully loaded. But you're not adding any value to the cotton when you handle the cotton. When you clean the cotton, the farmer gets paid a little bit more. When you gin the cotton, of course, you can't sell it until it's been ginned. And when you bale it, same thing. So these are the three processes that add value to cotton. It's sort of a tough call in a couple areas. When you look at the drying system, you're pulling it into the belly of, or from the belly of your incline cleaner or hot air cleaner. You got to do that. That's how you get the cotton in there. And in the process of pulling it up there with hot air, you're drying it and you're making that cleaner work a little more effectively. But I still put that in the category of its internal loss. Having done that analysis, then we say that about 4.5 kilowatt hours of bale are going for the ginning, a little bit less than 4 for cleaning, somewhere around 4, a little bit more than that for packaging. And I don't have real good numbers on the bale press motors because they'd run at about 50 amps for 2 minutes, and then for 2 seconds they'd be running at 600 amps. And it's kind of hard to get the average there. And then for everything else in the gin, be about 15 kilowatt hours. How do these numbers stack up with reality? Well, Dr. Valco's been doing gin surveys for a few years, and my numbers look kind of small compared to that. And there are a couple explanations. Now, we didn't get in a whole lot of gins. We don't have a huge representative sample yet. We just have a good representation across geography. Another possible explanation is that we're ignoring things like the seed house. There could be a lot of current going into the fans that blow air through the seed pile. So another source we can use to check how good these numbers are. Cliff Boykin took 65 cotton varieties, did almost 200 ginning runs with those different varieties from a couple different years and several locations. And he found that there's a big difference in the energy to gin based on the variety, but the range was 3.5 to 5.5, and we're right in the middle of that range. So I'm feeling fairly comfortable with my reported values for ginning. About 15, a little bit more than that, years ago, Anthony Eckley reported 7 for ginning and 10 for cleaning. Now, there's a big difference between what I saw for cleaning and what he did, and it could partly be by how he defined that. He also saw quite a bit more for handling than I did. And that could just be the progress we've made in the last 15 years or so. A lot of small gins have shut down, and the ones that are left tend to be larger, and there's an economy of scale going on. But if you look at that, we're spending a little bit more electricity moving stuff within the gin than we are adding value to the cotton. And I would encourage the industry, and I'll, you know, this will be my focus here for the next year or two, looking for ways to reduce what we spend handling as far as energy goes. And with energy becoming the second biggest cost now in a gin, that's going to be important. Ginning rates as far as bales per hour are on the x-axis, and the kilowatt hours to do a bale are on the y-axis. And you see it's scattered around there pretty good, not a real strong relationship. When we start looking at things like cleaning, there appears to be an advantage to economy of scale. As the gins get bigger, They don't use quite as much energy. And with packing, of course, that's, you can see this. The motor idling at 50 amps for 2 minutes when you're doing 30 bales an hour, or for 1 minute when you're doing 60 bales an hour, and that peak is the same length. So you cut in half the amount of idle time as you increase your capacity. And with handling, you look at things like a tower dryer. It doesn't seem to matter if you've got a bale a day going through that tower dryer or a bale a second going through that tower dryer. It's going to use about the same amount of air and about the same amount of electricity. So in total, there does seem to be advantage to going with a slightly larger gin. Roller gins use more energy than saw gins, even though we've heard some reports about the efficiency of roller gin itself. And again, that part of this is an economy of scale issue. Roller gins typically aren't running as much cotton per hour as a saw gin is. And I didn't draw any trend lines here because I didn't have very many samples, but there did appear to be a correlation with size of gin and the energy used for packing. So the bottom line is, guys, go home and build a bigger gin. And if you're interested in trying to trim that electric bill just a little bit, this is a way you could save some money next year without spending a whole lot of money this year. Get a closer look at your power factors, especially if your motors are large and a great distance away from the disconnect panel. And it says here I have 2 minutes left before the trap door opens in the floor. Anybody want to ask a quick question?
Paul, did you look at lighting in a gin?
I ignored lighting. I ignored the control system. And I actually ignored those little tiny motors that push the bale up the track and into the bagger and those things, because they only run for a couple seconds. And, you know, I thought we got to look at the big things first.
Right. How about Tommy's number versus yours would have the lighting, the bale handling such in, right?
He's got everything. He's got the whole year. He's got the off season as well as the on season.
Well, theoretically not. I mean, no. It should have been just through the gin season.
And the reason I bring that up is, you know, in one of the last things we built, we had a 60 horsepower load in lighting only. So, you know, that was substantial, I think.
Wow.
Well, you can see in the gin. It was nice.
Well, one of my favorite ginners put a bunch of skylights in his gin. So that helps, too. And there's no energy cost.